I remember taking the Power for Abundant Living class for the first time, and the whole idea and the whole truth that wherever I went, Christ went. Whatever he could do, I could do. Kind of blew me away. It was an amazing, amazing reality. Still is amazing reality. And all result of salvation. All result of salvation. Which, once you're saved, once you're born again in God's Spirit, you're more than a conqueror. Romans 10:9-10 again says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know, at that point we have Holy Spirit, and at that point we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's called the new man, it's called the inner man, it's called the inward man, and it's called a lot of different things. But once we have Christ in us, everywhere we go, he goes. And that's something that we established today. But once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, we become complete. Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So much in church, in religion, is based upon good works. Your righteousness many times is based upon the works that you do, according to people who are into religion. Many people who have been taught rightly, like we have gone that way, where it's works, 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 and they want you to do that as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 states, the reason we received Holy Spirit in a pretty neat way. Look at verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We've read this before many times in our lives, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The word know is a really cool word, that we might know the things. The word know means to see, to notice, to examine. It means to turn your attention to observe, to inspect, and to examine. It means to really behold. God wants us to really pay, listen here. He really wants us to pay attention, to examine, to inspect, to behold, to really notice the things that he's freely given to us. When I was a child, at Christmas time, when my parents gave me a gift, I didn't give it back. I didn't give it back. It was something that they freely gave me. Well, maybe not so freely, but they gave me a gift. I'm keeping this. God wants to know, to inspect. He wants us to really, really know what we've been freely given. Too often times Christians spend all their times on their works. How many hours a day they prayed. How many hours a day they studied. How many people they witnessed to. You know what? All those things are important and all those things are great. And they are. And I'm not belittling that. We need to study. We need to speak the word. We need to pray. But dang it, God wants us to examine, inspect. He wants us to behold. He wants us to see. He wants us to notice those things that God gave us freely. God really wants us to pay attention to these things. It says to know the things that are freely. And the word freely means to do a favor for. I would say God did us a favor. Would you?
Yeah.
I would say it was a pretty big favor. He gave us a favor. It means also to be gracious and kind to. And it means to give freely with no strings attached. No strings attached. God didn't give us things freely so we had to feel bad about it. He gave us those things because he loves us. He gave us those things because he's gracious. He gave us those things because he cares about us. God really wants us to believe. He wants us to accept entirely what he gave us because of his kindness and love. A really big part, a huge part, maybe even the main part of renewed mind. Remember that? Renewed mind stuff? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of what? God wants us to do this. A big part of renewing our mind is to believing what God, by way of his dear son, has given us. Let's look at some. And we call these rights, we call these privileges, we call these a lot of things. But these things, bottom line, are the things that God has freely given us, okay? That's what we're looking at. We're looking tonight at things that God freely gave us because he wanted to, because he loves us, because he's kind, because he's God. And he wants his children to be completely blessed. It says, he gave us a spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us. And then it says, after that, these things also we speak. So not only does he want us to accept it, the things that he's given us, to inspect it, but he wants us to speak that. We could do a lot better in our lives speaking these things than some of the things that we speak. Speak the things that will build people up. And things that have been freely given us will always build us up. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Righteousness. Do you know that the word righteousness is used over 35 times in the book of Romans, which is the foundational epistle, foundational doctrine epistle, which all of them are built? Righteousness. Righteousness. It's something God has freely given us is righteousness. It means the right state. It means the filling of all claims that are right. It's giving us full access to God. No holds barred. Do you understand that? When we talk to God, we're not talking to the air. We're not talking to a tree. We're talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our Heavenly Father. And this righteousness gives us the right to do that. It's the ability to stand in front of God Almighty without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, shortcoming, anything. A lot of us have trouble standing in the sight of one another because we don't want to tell them what's going on. This is so much bigger than talking to a human being. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth who has given unto us the right to talk to him without being afraid, without being condemned, without thinking about your shortcomings, your sins, your faults, your failures, and all the yucky stuff in our life. But not being afraid, you absolutely have a right and a privilege to talk to God. It's a big one, man. And the reason is because you're righteous. And God gave us that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I enjoy this subject because it's a subject that I really always try to improve upon as far as my acceptance of what God has given me and what he's made me to be. It's something I need to hear. It's something I need in my life more and more and more. Not because I'm weak, but because it's something God wants for me. He wants for me to know, to inspect, to examine, to observe, to look, to pay close attention to behold the things that are freely given to us. Fantastic. Verse 21. For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. He didn't even know sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To think that righteousness is that important, that God gave his son for us so that we could stand in the righteousness of God, with the righteousness of God. That's amazing truth. Amazing. So we're to know, we're to pay attention to, we're to behold, we're to observe, inspect, examine righteousness. We're also sanctified, 1 Corinthians 1. And I find it interesting that so many of these are in Corinthians, and Corinthians is what kind of an epistle? Reproof. When we're not believing rightly. Evidently, the Corinthian church had the same problem we do. At times. 1 Corinthians 1:30 again said, he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. To be sanctified is to be set apart from one way to another, from the world to God, from being without God to being with God, from being without hope to having hope, from being a child basically of the adversary to being a child of God, from being run by the adversary to our lives turning to the truth of God's word and accepting what he's given us freely. And also it says in that verse, sanctification and redemption. Redemption, this is a fantastic truth. Redemption is releasing affected by payment of ransom. Think of a kidnapping. Someone gets kidnapped, and the person who kidnaps the person asks for a what? A ransom. This redemption that we have has completely been paid for by Jesus Christ. We were kidnapped by the adversary, and we were rescued by God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of this payment, we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We're no longer without God. We have fellowship with God because we've been redeemed. Some of us older people may remember S&H green stamps, where you get all these books filled with green stamps and you fill them up with green stamps. Depending on how much you buy at a place, they give you green stamps. Stupid. And you have all these stupid books that annoy everyone, but then you get like 100 books filled with green stamps, and you can go to the store and for 50 books of green stamp you can get a bowl of cereal. It's fantastic. You redeem. So our redemption's a little bigger. We're also justified. Go to Romans chapter 4. These are things that God wants us to examine. He wants us to inspect. He wants us to observe these things. Romans 4, verse 25. It said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification when we were justified. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. Most of the times is used the same basic word as righteous. It's the act of God declaring men free from all guilt. Declaring men free from all guilt. Sometimes in the world, a person is sentenced to whatever, 25 years in prison, and then somebody will pardon them. So they get out with a get out of jail free card. We have a get out of jail free card forever. We've been redeemed and we've been justified. And we're reconciled. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're reconciled. You know, I can remember when I got into the Word of God, hearing all these truths, and it was overwhelming to me. The way I was raised by my family was every Sunday morning, my parents would give me and my brother Jeff a quarter and tell us to go somewhere. We had to go somewhere. We had to go to some sort of church. And man, when I took the PFL class, it was like, why did I ever go to church? Why did I ever do that? They never taught me these things. And I thought, how fantastic that I can have all these things. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so all these hippies were looking for peace and love and all this stuff, when all the time it was in God's word. I didn't have to grow long hair and I didn't have to smoke dope. I didn't have to walk around naked. I didn't have to do any of that. I could look at God's word. Those were cool things to look for, but they were right in the word. And God has given us all these things freely. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So if anybody says, do you have a ministry? Say, yes, I have the ministry of reconciliation. And it's true, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of what? God wants us to inspect. He wants us to look at. He wants us to observe. He wants us to really behold the things that have been freely given to us. And one of them is reconciliation. We've been changed from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. We've changed from being hopeless to having a hope. You want to talk about more than a conqueror? Start thinking that way. Write it down on your, you want a tattoo? Get that one. Nah, I don't care what you do. Yeah, I do. I care. But boy, there's a lot in here. And all these things have been freely given to us, all of them. And God wants us to know. He wants us to see. He wants us to observe. He wants us to examine those things that he's given to us freely so that we can be blessed and happy. Too many people are walking around depressed. Too many believers. I understand some of the chemical stuff that goes on, but doggone it, I also understand that God's word supersedes all that stuff. God's word is first and foremost. And no matter what the opportunity is, God can make a tremendous way where there doesn't seem to be a way. My wife Joyce died. At her memorial, I asked God if I could be happier than I ever was before. And you know what? God has blessed me that way. I knew the answer was yes. I did not know if I had the guts to pursue that. But because of God's grace and because of what he's freely given us, God has made a wonderful way for me to have a beautiful wife and an extended family that's fantastic too. God's so good, no matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter. Some of you guys hold on to the weirdest stuff. Cut it out. See yourself redeemed. See yourself righteous. See yourself condemned. No. Because there is none. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at what else he's freely given to us. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit what? Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 8. For one manifestation is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he the man wills. That's a lot of words there. But God has given us tremendous power, and he's given us power for free. Superhero movies are like number one. Everybody goes to see superhero movies, and I kind of like some of them. But I think of those superheroes, and we can raise people from death to life. You know, one way we can do it is get people born again. Man is incomplete. Body, soul, no spirit. We share God's word with them, and Romans 10:9, they believe it, they get born again. That's a miracle of all miracles. Speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. It's rest of the soul. It's speaking the wonderful works of God and many other things. Speaking in tongues edifies our spirit. It builds us up. Speaking in tongues did not cost anything for us. And we can now have perfect communication with God. Where we might miss it in our understanding, we will never miss it by speaking in tongues. Tongues with interpretation. It's given the church the opportunity to be built up from God directly. God speaking. Words that build us up. I never heard God said, I hate you, my children. I hope you die. No. The words that God speaks are words that build us up. They're words that edify us. And they exhort us to a more worthy endeavor. Like, walk forth as my children, knowing who you are. And rest to your soul. It quiets you down. I love you, my children. My peace is with you. I've given you my son so that you might have a great life. Oh, well, that just kills you. It's so great. And prophecy, which basically does the same thing. Word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you might receive from God by his revealing it to you certain truths and facts which are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know one thing. And you know, in plain English, that means God will show you things that you could never know by your senses. How? By word of knowledge. Freely, he's given it to you. This has nothing to do with you being a good guy. It has nothing to do with you being a great girl. It has nothing to do with your perfect walk with God. It has everything to do with how great God is and how willing and able he is to freely tell us things that we need to know. Word of wisdom is basically showing you what to do once you've been given word of knowledge. In other words, there's trouble with Stephanie Shum. Okay, so that would be word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is, go to her house on Thursday, buy her flowers, and pray for her. You know, what I wouldn't think of. And I would do that. And then that's word of wisdom. It's what to do in a given situation once you know the truths and facts concerning it. And discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability where you can know if there's presence or non-presence of spirits, if there's Holy Spirit or if there's a devil spirit, if something's right, if something's wrong. And he can show you what's wrong. He can show you the identity of the spirits involved. And he'll tell you what to do. It's amazing. We've cleared out places before that we've been. Gosh, Dean was with me that one time when we went with a bunch of the guys, Lance and Albert and everybody. We went to this packed place, Destination Dogs, great hot dogs. And we just wanted to hang out. We couldn't get a place at first. Finally, we got a place at the end of the bar. We weren't there 15 minutes. The entire place left because God's kids were in town and wanted to have a good time, and God wanted us to have a good time, so he got rid of them. Other times, I've walked into places God says, get the hell out, and I leave. It's a nice situation, but that's a manifestation that God has freely given to us. Think of how important that is. Man, oh man, when you're dealing with people and they have all these problems all the time, do you ever even consider this manifestation? You should. Faith or believing, it's your operation of the God-given ability where you can believe to bring to pass the impossible at your command. That's something. According to what God's given you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It's fantastic. These are things that he's freely given to us. You don't need a PhD in theology. You just need to know this. And these are things that God wants us to observe, to examine, to inspect, to know, to behold. He wants us to know these manifestations. And we really learn about them by reading the word and seeing all the great records and how people did these things. Working of miracles, you know, you bring something to pass really quick. Gifts of healings. Gifts of healings is when somebody asks you to pray for them, you pray for them, they get healed. Have any of you been prayed for and gotten healed? Raise your hand. Have any of you prayed for somebody and they got healed? Raise your hand. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? Should it? I mean, it's God's word. It's what we ought to expect, and it's what we ought to inspect. We ought to take a look at those things. Look at how awesome this is. God has given us these manifestations for one reason, to benefit, to profit, not just our lives, but other people's lives. And he's given it to us freely. All my life, I wanted to be helpful. I wanted to be able to assist somebody. My whole life, even as a kid. But God wants us to know, to notice, to see, to pay attention, to observe, to inspect and behold all these wonderful things. Go to John chapter 15. We should have so much confidence that we have these things because we do have these things. And we should remind one another, you know, of these things. John 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is Jesus talking. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Look at the heart of Jesus Christ. He wanted people to enjoy life. He wanted people to be full of joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ considered the people that he worked with friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You ever want to be a good leader? Share your heart with people. Let people know where things are at. Give to them. Love them. Understand them. Work with them. Talk to them. Don't be ashamed to share your heart. I do that all the time with the fellow laborers to the best of my ability, for hours and hours on end, because I want to give them everything I've got. Not because I'm so smart. Actually, they're really smart. I'm not so smart. I've learned that this year. I had these fellow laborers. They all were valedictorians. And there's me. It's not fair. They ask these questions, you know, and they know I don't know it. They're making fun of me. I know they are. In their own secret intellectual way. They're slippery, these guys, because they're so nice. I'm not buying it. I called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You haven't chosen me. I chose you. Ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he gives it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. I'm just going to read them because I know this will probably be covered, but a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Some people who've come here from different locations still don't have it figured out. They think they do, but they don't. It's all about love, man. And if you ain't getting that wherever you came from or wherever you're deciding to go, you're stupid. Dumber than dirt. Anybody can know God's word. By your fruit you shall know them. And you guys manifest a great amount of love. And I'm sure thankful for that. But the love of God is something that has been freely given to us. The love of God. And we, in turn, can manifest that love to other people. I don't really understand it, but I've been a active recipient and hopefully a participant. I mean, I can't tell you how blessed I get being with you, because you're loving, you're kind, you're tender, you're not abrasive. Some sarcastic, but hearts are big. And that's one thing I kind of get a kick out of this place, even to this day. It's kind of a funny thing. It's hard to get used to if you're not used to it. But once you understand what's going on, let me know. Anyway, so God has given us love. It cost him his son. He so loved that he gave. We so love that we give. Galatians 5 shows us the fruit. Shows us the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of believing. The fruit of believing and accepting what we've freely been given is here in Galatians. As we inspect, as we examine, as we observe and we behold the things that have been freely given to us. And boy, this is the truth of God's word here. As we do this, I don't know how long or what period of time it takes, but as we do this on a consistent basis, we start producing fruit. And that fruit is written right here in Galatians 5. You all know it by heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It means tender affection. It means to cherish. This is God's love manifested as a result of us inspecting it, looking at it, looking at places in the Word where God loved the unlovable, where God took care of people who didn't have a shot, where God took care of people who even just turned their back on Him. Somehow God loved them through it. Remember Moses bargaining for God's people? Was it Moses or Abraham? One of them. Who was it? Abraham. Yeah. He started at 50 and ended up like at zero, you know. And God did it because of His love. Do we understand all that? No. But it's fun to inspect. It's fun to look at in God's Word. Joy means gladness. It means delight. It means happiness. Why the long face? God has given us so many things freely, we should just be so happy. There's a song, Happy, Happy, Happy. It's Jimmy likes to sing that a lot. Peace. Peace. It means to be tranquil. It means harmonious between other people, which is a cool definition. It's the absence of strife. It's untroubled, undisturbed believing. Untroubled, undisturbed well-being. You're just blessed on the inside. There is no turmoil going on in the heart. There's no pitter-patter, no anxious frustration. It's like taking a deep breath. It's like cold water on a hot day. It's peace. And it also means forgiveness enjoyed. One of the things that prevent and prohibit believers from manifesting tremendous peace is their condemnation. Always thinking about the things that they haven't done. Always thinking about the sins or the sins of others. Just continuing to think about that stuff. All that does is stir your heart up. All it does, it's no profit at all. And you don't help anybody and you don't help yourself. God's not happy. You're not happy. That's a bad deal. A good deal is when everybody's blessed. So accept it. Accept it. Peace. This is a result of knowing who you are and what you have been given freely. Long suffering means long before you get angry. It means being patient, enduring. It's slowness in avenging wrongs, and it's forbearance. Don't get pissed off every 30 seconds. Good Lord, life's too short. You're not going to do that at the gathering. And I understand godly anger, and I probably understand, well, I do understand the other kind of anger too. But it's long suffering. And these are, this is what, when people see us, this is what they should see. This is the embodiment of what they should see. Gentleness means being kind, kindness, fairness. It's consideration. You know what it is to be considerate? You know what that is. You're considerate. That's what gentleness is. It's kindness. It's fairness. It's consideration. Goodness. It's uprightness of heart and life and kindness. It's uprightness of heart and life and it's kindness. Faith. Boy, you know, I don't know why in the heck believing became so confusing. But the definition, if you look it up, it's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. A conviction based upon hearing. In our case, as believers, Romans 10:17 says, so faith or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing what? So I anticipate that this week will help our believing because of the amount of the word of God we're going to hear. It means relying confidence and trust in what we hear from God's word. How hard is that? Do you want some super duper 15-page definition of believing? You go right ahead. God says it, that's it. End of story. What do you want? Meekness. You know, to be gentle. It's one of the meanings. Enduring things with an even temper. Free from all haughty self-sufficiency. Boy, sometimes I think education is just a waste of time and just builds people's egotism. Look, free from haughty self-sufficiency. Jesus Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing. So what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? Build the bridge? Well, congratulations. Let's get a champagne bottle. Oh, I guess you do that for ships. I don't know anything about this stuff. I have to go to the fellow laborers. They'll tell me. But there, you know what it is to be meek. You want to know. It's like, I got to know. I got to understand. Please help me understand. I want to know. And boy, it says in Matthew 5, verse 6, that God fills all those that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. If you want to get blessed, you're going to get blessed. If you want to hear God's word and understand God's word, you're going to. If you don't, you could go to 50,822 fellowships and you ain't going to get nothing. Except you're there. I don't want you there. Don't come. Don't come. I'd rather have you stay home and watch Captain America or whatever. Temperance means self-control. Self-control. It's self-control. It's the grace by which the flesh is controlled. You control it. You are temperate. When our lives manifest these wonderful fruits of the Spirit, this is what draws people to God. It draws people to His Word. A lot of people know the Bible and what the Bible says, yet they don't really manifest the love, joy, and the peace in it. We want to manifest what God has given us freely. We do this by looking, observing, examining, inspecting, all those things of the things that we've been freely given. There's great love and there's great power manifested to those that believe what they've been given freely. You want to manifest power? I do. Believe who you are. Believe who you are. I'm a son of God. That's who I am. When I can remember, I was 19 years old, just graduated the PFAL class. It was my 19th birthday present by my parents. And I can remember writing down on a piece of paper, I want to be the best Jerry Carr I can possibly be. Now, of course, I can work on that the rest of my life. I didn't want to be Dr. Weirwell. I didn't want to be Jimmy Dopp. I wanted to be myself. I wanted to learn how to be myself and to be blessed with that, with all my limitations, to be the best believer I could be. It says in John 8, you can go there. Verse 32, y'all know it. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. True freedom, true power, and true love and deliverance come from our Heavenly Father, who's given us so many wonderful things freely. Truth makes people free. Free. Knowing and believing our sonship rights helps us incredibly in being more than conquerors in manifestation. Wherever we walk with power because we know who we are. 1 Corinthians 2:12, we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 2. And in verse 12 it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. God wants us to see. He wants us to notice. He wants us to pay attention to. He wants us to observe. He wants us to inspect these wonderful things that we've been freely given. And knowing and believing these things really helps us live like more than conquerors. Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for this day that we've had in your word, God, and for the day that we've had together. And Father, that your word can penetrate the very innards of our being. That you would just help us remember all the things that you've given us so freely. Thank you that because of your Son, we're born again. Thank you for a really restful night for everybody. And for the best day we've ever had in our entire lives tomorrow, hearing your word. So excited, God. Such a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. You know, I love coming to these camps because a large portion of it, I get to sit and hear God's word. And there is no replacement for that. There is no time or distance that I wouldn't extend so that I could hear God's word. If it was going to Zanzibar to hear God's rightly divided word, wherever that is, I'd go. And I get so blessed hearing people teach. I get so blessed observing people walk by the Spirit, love each other, have fun together. It's such a blessing to be able to do something like this. I remember the first time I ever went to this place in Ohio where the Way International was, this little, it's smaller than Milltown, I think. And, you know, I was just blown away. And I wanted to be that way. I still do want to be that way, where it's just fellowship, fellowship with believers, 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 believers. You know, I think there's 25 believers that live in our two blocks near my house. I never asked none of them to move there. It's kind of like God does really cool things for you when you just walk. You know, I could go through hours, and that's why the poor fellow laborers put up with me, but hours and hours of stories of deliverance that either I've been a part of or I've observed. And it's because of God. God is so huge. He's so magnificent. He's so strong. He's so kind. He's so powerful. And he is forgiving. Whatever's going on in your life that you need help with, this is the week. This is the week. This is the time. This is the hour. Don't waste it. Be demanding with believing expectation that whatever it is that you need is going to be handled either by somebody touching you on the shoulder or the word that you learn. Or somebody praying. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, love you. See you in the morning.